Welcome back to What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio. On the show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. The ability to overstand and see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to escape the living hell we find ourselves in. Regarding health care, this became self-evident to me in 1999 when I created the big picture of all diseases, which is the first diagram that can be found on both of my websites, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com and drcarly.com. If you haven't yet done so, print out those diagrams and listen to the YouTube videos posted of me explaining them at a conference I gave in Chicago in 2008. Facing the reality that the psychopaths which control our world have created a hell on earth intentionally is a critical step in bringing forth an anti-hell. Overstanding the simplicity of the master template of how this hell has been created makes the antidote equally simple. We don't need all the details. All that is necessary is for people of conscience to say no to their predators, to stop loving them, forgiving them, turning the other cheek to them, making excuses for them, and to stop paying cash for being harmed by them. It is my goal to give you the truth of what I have learned, to arm you with the confidence to ask the hard questions, which will not only cause the predators to run away, but will also cause those around you to face the monsters destroying your lives. You will learn from my guests that there are many of us standing up. Silence is consent. Speaking the truth and asking hard questions in great numbers is the road to anti-hell. Bypassing religious beliefs that only some man in the sky can save us is very important, as religion prevents logic, reasoning, formation of a plan to save ourselves, and then taking action. For only acting on the truth will set you free. Believing the lies or doing nothing will enslave you. Confronting evil with documented truth and creating the emerging choices that Dan McCarthy teaches us about is all we need to do. Compromise with evil is impossible. And when evil is on the run, that's when we press harder. Whatever false beliefs you have about any subject, that is what is being used to control you. As Henry David Thoreau said, for every 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil, there's one striking at the root. And I am one of those people striking at the root. Those with no conscience are predators. That is the root. Learning to see the master template of the predators' crimes against humanity, as well as how they use psyops operatives and disinformers, as well as people's beliefs to control them, will help people of conscience to destroy the root of the evil that has created this hell on earth. If you think my work is important, please tell others about this show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them and helping them escape from the death and disease being caused by the medical devils. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. Thanks to Ron at Dependable Voice. I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean toll-free. If you get a strange message that the number has been disconnected or something of that nature, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I save Skype primarily for my international clients and radio shows. So if you live within those, borders that the toll-free number works for, please call me. Do not Skype me. I just have too many Skype contacts already. I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. There's a chat room on OrionTalkRadio.com on my show page, and recent show archives are posted on the station site as well. Archives of my shows for the past few years on many networks can also be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives, and I thank Sheldon Day for continuing to post my archives, because I do shows pretty much every day of the week at this point. There are many ways to listen to shows here on the Orion Network, so check that out on the homepage. Please also support the network by donating on the homepage and buying a t-shirt so you can become a walking advertisement for Orion Talk Radio to help spread the word about the station. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in during the second hour at 716-213-6816 or toll free, thanks again to Ron, at 888-320-6151. However, we do ask that listeners not use the toll-free number to listen to the show. And very important, you must mute your phones while you're waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. I am very excited that I now also have a show out of the UK on These Changing Times Radio. And Times has a Z instead of an S. TheseChangingTimesRadio.ning.com. Every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This site and call-in numbers for the show are also posted on my page at Sheldon Day's site, thelightofdayradioshow.com. One of the most important things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone, as well as all the hospitals with their antibiotic-resistant organisms, is purchase a silver lungs colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinducediseases.com to learn how to obtain the silver generator I recommend and use personally for myself and all my pets. On today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing America, is anti-vaccine frauds. And this is a gigantic subject, and I'm going to cover as much as I can about this today because, you see, one of the most important things people have to realize is not only the lies that we're being told by the government, the agencies, all those who are making money off, you know, destroying our health and things of that nature, but the sellouts who are basically bringing us down the wrong road in order for us to look over there. And I've been dealing with this crap for 15 years, and I'm getting really sick of it. And I'm taking off the gloves. I take no prisoners. Anybody that hears any one of their heroes mentioned, and primarily you're going to be hearing about Dr. Wakefield, Jenny McCarthy, and Barbie Lil Fisher of the NVIC. So if you're one of the members of their cults, please do send them a copy of this show. And I welcome any of them to come on and refute anything I say, because these people are preventing us from getting the solution we need, which is to stop the vaccination program completely. All of these entities say we have to get vaccinated. You know, don't stop vaccinating, just decrease the schedule. And my answer to that is, yeah, that's great. It's better to get shot, to be shot with a six shooter than an Uzi. Okay, that's my answer to that ridiculous comment by these obvious sellouts within the anti-vaccine community. At any rate, I'm very honored today to have as my guest Christina England, a journalist from the UK. She was born and educated in London. She left school to work in a children's library specializing in storytelling and book buying. In 1978, she changed her career path to dedicate her time to caring for the elderly and was awarded the title of Caregiver of the Year for her work with the elderly in 1980. In 1985, she began to work with disabled children at a special school and went on to work in a respite unit for disabled children and teenagers at a London teaching hospital. In 1990, she adopted the first of two disabled boys, both with challenging behavior, complex disability, and medical needs, i.e. vaccine damage. In 1999, she was accused of Munchausen by proxy after many failed attempts to get the boys' complex needs met. Finally, she was cleared of all accusations after an independent psychologist, Lisa Blakemore Brown, gave both boys the diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder and ADHD as part of a complex tapestry of disorders. During the assessment, Ms. Blakemore Brown discovered through the foster care diaries that the eldest boy had reacted adversely to the MMR vaccine. Not funny how Christina England was not told this when she adopted the children. And this is, you know, how it works, people. After taking a level in psychology and a higher certificate in learning disabilities course, Miss England then spent many years researching vaccines and adverse reactions. She went on to gain a higher national diploma in journalism and media writing on adverse reactions to vaccines, and is currently studying for a Bachelor of Arts honors degree in humanities and literature. She writes for the American Chronicle, the Weekly Blitz, Vac Truth, and Namaste UK on immunization safety, and of course the only safe thing to do with vaccines is stop giving them, and efficacy. She has recently been offered a vaccine column in the UK newspaper, The Sovereign Independent, exposing government corruption surrounding adverse reactions to vaccines, which of course is a full-time job in itself. Her main areas of expertise are researching false allegations of child abuse and adverse reactions to vaccines. Her work is now read internationally and has been translated into many languages. She has been a guest on many radio shows and has spoken at seminars worldwide, including Canada in 2011, and recently co-authored the book Shaken Baby Syndrome or Vaccine-Induced Encephalitis, Are Parents Being Falsely Accused? Hint, hint, the answer is yes. And her co-author is Dr. Harold Buttram, one of the truth tellers, let me say, in the anti-vaccine movement. Okay, I hear the music. We're going to a break. Perfect timing. After the break, I'll bring on Christina England. And this person has, let's just say, helped me open up the cans of worms like I could have never imagined in regards to the vaccine lies we're being told. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is anti-vaccine frauds. And this show could go for an entire day, but we're going to highlight some of the most disgusting frauds that are out there. And because Christina writes for certain, you know, blogs and places that promote some of these minions, I don't expect her to comment on what I say. But I ask all of you to send, as I said, my show to the three main minions I'm going to cover today: Jenny McCarthy, Barbie Lowe Fisher of the National Vaccine Information Center, as well as the King, Andrew Wakefield. And tell them, you know, I've had a $10,000 reward on my DrCarly.com site for over 6 years for any one of the minions to come on my show and prove me wrong. So let them line up and get some cash. Okay, I'm so grateful to have Christina England on the show. Since I started working with her, I don't even know how long it's been, but we're in contact every day now at this point for weeks. Christina has found some documents through people that she's working with in the UK that are pure gold in terms of proving that these minions, especially this guy, Professor Roy Meadow, who's been diagnosing mothers as having Munchausen's by proxy after they mentioned vaccine damage. And turns out that this piece of garbage was actually attending vaccine meetings to discuss adverse reactions to vaccines. And the topic of subacute sclerosing panencephalitis did come up numerous times, which, as I've told you many times, is autism. They changed the name to hide the fact that it, you know, is in fact autism from the MMR vaccine. So welcome to the show, Christina, and I'll let you take it wherever you want to go.
Well, hello, Rebecca. It's lovely to be on the show again. I think when I came in on all this was because I was falsely accused of Munchausen's, and because I had the brilliant professional that I did that managed to, well, literally clear my name and get the children most of the help and the education they did need. They didn't believe anything that was being said. I was called over anxious. I was called everything to deflect away from the vaccines. I was saying that my children definitely seemed to have autistic tendencies. One of them had a very, very nasty bowel condition. We didn't know what that was, or at least I didn't know what it was. He was on the toilet 11 times a day, screaming, rocking in pain. He looked like a stick insect. We couldn't put any weight on him at all. And he was very ill indeed. In fact, even the hospital called him a chronically ill child. I got blamed for failure to thrive, although I was absolutely doing everything I possibly could to make him thrive. I didn't know, couldn't feed the child anymore. It was just going straight through him. It didn't even go into the bowel. Well, I don't think it did. It just went straight through from mouth to
Well, he wasn't able to digest and absorb. That's the problem. Go ahead.
That's it.
Go ahead.
And I went from doctor to doctor, now called Dr. Hopping. I went from doctor to doctor to try and find out what was wrong with my child. I was told that, of course, I didn't know anything about children because I'd adopted him at 4, and I didn't know what it was like, and I was an over-anxious mother because it was my first child I'd had. And various things was... We got blamed for just about everything. I got blamed for putting a hearing aid on my little one to make him more disabled, to look more disabled. I got blamed for putting the other one into swimming competitions for Disability Sport England because he shouldn't be swimming in that because they deemed his disability wasn't enough. I'd made it up. I liked labels. That was another one they called it. I liked labels. I liked labelling my children with different things. Eventually, it was found that Daniel had food intolerance. I've since been told it's a food allergy. Food intolerance. They put him on a special diet, no wheat, no dairy, no eggs, no soya, and then left me to it.
Okay, Christina, hold on. I'm getting a message from one of our listeners asking you to please speak louder and speak more slowly. Speak more slowly because you're talking a little fast. Go ahead.
Okay, the hospital eventually diagnosed Daniel as having food allergies, food intolerances. He wasn't tolerating the food properly. They said he needed a wheat-free, dairy-free, egg-free, and soya-free diet. This is quite something to be able to do. It means literally looking at every single can, every single packet, in great detail. I was keeping it up as much as possible. I was feeding him as much as I could possibly feed him that didn't include these products. And lo and behold, the diarrhea went. It did go. His symptoms got a lot better. But he wasn't thriving. He still wasn't putting on weight. So they decided to night feed him. So they put him on all the tubes to night feed him. And this is, you've got to realize he was 13 at the time.
Wait a minute. When you talk night feeding, how do they do that with these children? Do they put a gastrostomy tube in him surgically and feed him directly into his stomach, or do they stick a tube down his nose?
Down his nose. And then
very comfortable. Go ahead.
Very comfortable for a 13-year-old who had to have it pinned to his face and go to school like it. Yes, I thought that.
Wow.
He hated it. He was called Tubby. He was called names. He had ever such a rough time at school. He was being bullied. Eventually, they decided they were going to do a gastrostomy in his stomach. And I actually didn't really know what that was. And so I agreed and said that sounded like a good idea because every time he dived into the swimming pool, the tube would come up and it would come out of his nose. And then we'd have all the fuss of going to the hospital to put it back in through his nose again because I refused to do it. I didn't want to do the tube feeding because I didn't feel comfortable with putting a tube all the way down a teenager's throat and nose and everything else into his stomach. So they then twisted it and said I wanted him to have operations. I wanted him to be cut open with a knife and everything else. And I wanted what they called was major surgery. Well, I didn't realize that I wanted him to have major surgery. I just wanted his life to be a little bit more comfortable with what I saw was going to be a lifelong problem. However, then he was put in a unit that I didn't know. But it was a unit for parents of children with what were being called Munchausen's by proxy. And we were all videoed 24 hours a day. Wherever we said to the child, whatever we did, however we acted, we were being videoed. But none of the parents knew that they were being videoed. We had children
okay,
in there.
I have to interrupt you right now to point out the insanity of this to begin with. Your child obviously has problems. They've already told you he has all these food allergies. He has to have a special diet. They're saying he needs these special feedings, but yet they're accusing you of making stuff up so you can get attention. How insane is that, Christina?
Absolutely. I mean, I had letters coming. Well, I've got loads of letters, which I have now shown at conferences to prove how easily it is and how what they do and how they do it. I've got letters stating that he had these food allergies. I've got letters stating that he was getting better and that his pain had gone, and I was saying that symptoms were getting better. Then suddenly I'm accused of giving him a label of food allergies to get attention, and the blood tests go missing. You know, things like this. Then eventually when the solicitor that I had tried to get all the paperwork, they said that they'd been all been burnt in a fire. Well, I can tell you now, Southampton General Hospital has never, ever had a fire to this day, not that I know of. And I live quite close to that hospital. No fire. It was just because they said they were all lost in a fire, we couldn't prove otherwise. The solicitor couldn't get the paperwork. So by this time, Lisa had come in and she found this in his records that he'd been damaged by the MMR. And the conditions that he had actually were from the MMR, and she proved this. And this was a breakthrough because I had realised that something was going on with the vaccinations. I didn't know quite what was going on. So if anybody can hear a puffing and huffing in the background, it's my dog. He's gone ballistic for some reason. She found this out, and I'd already started to sort of wonder about the vaccines because a lot had been in the newspapers about the whooping cough vaccination at that time. It was around about the mid, it was late 90s, but I had seen a lot in the papers at that particular time saying that the whooping cough was causing a lot of allergies, a lot of problems. Children were dying, children were getting brain damage. And
this was before she actually found foster care diaries that said that the oldest boy had had a severe reaction to the MMR vaccine?
Yes, I'd started to realise myself that vaccinations perhaps weren't such a good idea. That Daniel had come to me fully vaccinated, because that's what they do. They make sure the children are fully vaccinated before you get them. And then then they try and take them back if you don't wish to vaccinate. They decide to take the children back. That's just the way they work, the adoption societies. It's all a big fix. The children, my two children were very disabled. They both had a lot of problems. And if it hadn't been for Lisa, she was an absolute dream. She was a fantastic professional. I can't speak more highly of her. Anybody that's actually read my work knows I speak an awful lot about Lisa and about her work. And she often spoke about Professor Roy Meadow. And she often spoke about Dr. David Southall. And she always believed that these two professionals were involved somehow in all this scandal with the vaccines. At the time, I didn't even know who they were. I hadn't even got a clue who they were. And I've since found out so much about both of them, both of these people. And she is quite right. But, of course, the more she spoke out, the more, like any professional that does speak out, including yourself, Rebecca, they get accused of all sorts, and they try to destroy you. They try to do absolutely anything, especially the professionals. If the professionals speak out, they will do anything. They will threaten the professionals. They will threaten their lives. They will threaten their possessions. They will threaten their children. Anything they can do, they will do. And this is to stop them speaking out. And it's particularly, they will complain to your governing bodies. You'll get complaints in all of a sudden from different people. Some people you've never even heard of will come in and suddenly make these awful complaints about you. And they just try to do everything they can. And they succeed in some cases. They do succeed. In Lisa's case, they didn't succeed. She won one case after another with her governing body, which was the British Psychological Society. Much like the GMC, which is the General Medical Council in our country, Both of them are very corrupt, absolutely corrupt right throughout. We know this now by fact, by paperwork, and the professionals they're saving. I mean, this is how I started to learn about Professor Meadow in particular. He was the one that coined the phrase Munchausen syndrome by proxy. It's really a fantasy name for a fantasy disorder. It doesn't exist. I don't believe it exists, and a lot of professionals out there don't believe it exists. Lisa certainly doesn't believe it exists. Let me say,
common sense tells you it doesn't exist, because if a woman is going to go through the difficulties of pregnancy and childbirth, why is she going to purposefully cause her child problems so that she can get attention? It's the whole idea is insane on its face. And I just want to mention that you had sent me a link to a story on Mail Online, which can be accessed at dailymail.co.uk. The title of the article is The Doctor Who Broke Up Families, Psychiatrist Who Damned Hundreds as quote-unquote unfit parents faces a GMC probe. And this is in regard to another minion. I mean, please don't call them professionals. These are not professionals. These are anti-Hippocratics. And he actually fraudulently, and it's now been revealed that he actually fraudulently diagnosed parents as mentally ill so that their children could be stolen by social services. And what really disgusts me in this article is that the General Medical Council is investigating him. He should be going to prison for life. What's going to happen to all these families that have been destroyed because of his fraud and corruption so that he can get more children to be stolen by social services to be used in child trafficking? I mean, this is like nothing. They're going to investigate him. Big deal. You know, he needs to go to jail. And so does Professor Roy Meadow and all of these cronies who have conspired to steal children, because that's what it's all about.
Well, let's go back to the... I mean, you're absolutely right. They do need to go into jail. Professor Roy Meadow, well, I'd like... He's been knighted for his good work in childcare and child protection. If anybody should lose anything, he should at least lose his knighthood. From what I found out, and I found out with friends that have been working with me, we've got paperwork, government paperwork. We know what he's been up to. And I believe he knows that we know what he's been up to as well.
Yeah.
It's the timing of everything. That's what the crucial thing is. Professor Meadow was a bit of a fantasist anyway. He made up stories. He pretended that he told everybody, including a judge, that he was brought up by Anna Freud, the daughter of Sigmund Freud. The newspapers have since actually revealed that this was untrue. Even his ex-wife said that she doesn't even know why he made up that story. And the only thing he had, the only contact with her that he had, was through a few conferences that he went and listened to. And yet he's telling the world that he was brought up by her and all the wonderful things she was saying. And it made it sound, I mean, he said that at one point he sat at her feet while he listened to her. And it was absolutely ridiculous because none of it was true. And it's just like one story after another we found out to be, he's a woman hater. That's his wife. His wife said that. She said that he hates women. She doesn't know what it is. She said that he's not gay. She said, although I don't know about that, well, I can't really tell you, but I do know that he's got a problem with women. And that they were her words in the newspaper. So he's obviously got a big, big problem. He's obviously, he's an actor. He was an amateur actor in plays. He played the leading role in The Crucible, which is about Salem witch trials, about mothers that have been accused of murdering their children. And that was way, way back, very early on in his career. He was doing amateur dramatics. And you've got to think, well, this guy seems to have a screw loose. There's something not quite right about this guy. And yet, in 1977, he wrote a paper. He'd written a few papers, but nothing outstanding. A few about mothers in hospitals and should they be with their children in hospital. He wrote a few papers on enuresis, bedwetting. So there was nothing outstanding about this guy. He was a senior paediatrician. Then suddenly in 1977, he wrote a paper called The Hindlands of Child Abuse. And this paper was about two cases in particular. And one of those cases was about a salt poisoning case. And he'd accused the mother. Sorry, battery's gone low. He's accused a mother of falsely poisoning her child with salt. And he explains this and says that he feels that the mother was poisoning the child because the child had very high sodium in his blood. And the little boy had very high sodium in his blood when he was brought in. He also had high sodium in the urine, which was, he said, was salt poisoning, that she'd been slowly and systematically poisoning the child with salt. Now, to prove that this child was actually being fed with salt and how easy it was or how hard it was, he decided that he was going to feed the child with salt as well. So he actually admitted in the discussion, and it can be seen on the paper's around on the internet, that him and his colleagues force-fed the child with difficulty 20 grams of salt, and the child died a few days, I believe, later when he was returned to the hospital with a very high sodium level. They didn't look at diabetes insipidus, even though the mother had high salt content in her milk and in the breast milk. They decided not to look at that. If they did look at it, it wasn't mentioned in the paper. Now, round about this time, the government, our UK government, were having a lot of trouble with adverse reactions to vaccines. There was a very, very, I've got this all on paperwork, it can be proved. They had an awful lot of trouble with a lady called Rosemary Fox. Now, this lady was trying to get compensation for vaccine-damaged children in our country. And she reported of case after case after case. And she had about, I think, something like 253 cases that had been reported to her. She'd started an organisation and it had been reported to her with vaccine-damaged children. And these children were very seriously brain-damaged. A lot of them had died straight after vaccines, and this was a DPT vaccination. And this was round about, I think it began in 73. Now, in 1978, this lady took the UK government to European Court of Human Rights to try and win this case, because she wasn't getting anywhere. There was letters flying around all over the place, many of which I've got. Rosemary Fox has provided me with quite a lot of the material as well. There were letters absolutely going backwards and forwards in the government. They did not want this to come out. They would not want this to happen. She took them to European Courts of Human Rights. Now, in 1978, she won the case, and they had to pay vaccine-damaged children in this country £10,000 for every vaccine-damaged child. They all got the same amount. Now, this was very, very interesting, because suddenly Professor Meadow was getting a name for himself. The syndrome had really taken off. They decided that Munchausen's by proxy was a new syndrome. It was a new name. It was the in thing. And it was getting bigger and bigger. He was being spoken about by many, many professionals. He was called fantastic for his strides in child protection work, etc., etc. Now, you don't really know what's going on in the background at this time, but in 1987, he pops up in the vaccination meetings in the JCVI and the ARVI. Now, this is the Joint Committee for Vaccine Immunisation and the Adverse Reactions to Vaccinations and Immunisations. Now, these are two groups that sanction our vaccines for our government. They're rather like your FDA and CDC, so they're very similar to this. And all of a sudden, you're getting him on the list. Now, Lisa Blakemore Brown.
Okay, hold on. We have the music. We're going to a break. And after the break, I want to get into the anti-vaccine frauds. Christina, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, yeah, I had to redo everything. This is so frustrating. This has been happening to me every week for the last few weeks. Apparently recovering information that the psychopaths don't want covered. Okay, so hopefully listeners are holding on, waiting for us to come back online. And now we're back online. I just want to change the direction. Let me just say that you went into a lot of detail about the things that you're discussing now on our show last Sunday on Changing Times Radio. And there's too much information to just repeat everything. So I would encourage people to go to the lightofdayradioshow.com and listen to the archive of last Sunday for more information on Professor Roy Meadow and his minions and how they're not only inventing diseases to use against parents who say their children have been vaccine damaged, but also participating secretly in confidence, and that's proven in the documents that Christina has obtained, to basically claim that parents are, you know, pretty much abusing their children if they say they're vaccine damaged. So that's what we have to deal with. Okay. I hear the music again. All right. Sorry, folks. I know we lost a few minutes there while I was reconnecting and going through all this crap. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break and we'll continue with the discussion. Hopefully.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
Our guest is Bev Harris of BlackBoxVoting.org.
Well, the bottom line is whoever controls the programming or the setup on the machine ultimately controls the election.